Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight is a particular honor for me because, let's face it, my presence on this stage is pretty unlikely. My father was a foreign student, born and raised in a small village in Kenya. He grew up herding goats, went to school in a tin roof shack. His father, my grandfather, was a cook.
Welcome to Current Events with Patrick Cook. I'm your host, Patrick Cook, coming to you live from Dallas, Texas, as I do every Sunday at 4 p.m. Central Time, 5 o'clock Eastern. We are the number one resource for small business and nonprofits. To learn how you can showcase your business or nonprofit, go to our website at TaylorMade101.com. That's TaylorMade101.com for details. Man, we have another great show in store for you today. So sound the alarm! Get on Facebook, Twitter, Foursquare, or Tumblr. Send out emails and text messages. Call your friends and family and tell them to tune in right now to Current Events with Patrick Cook. To join the conversation, the number to call is 323-580-5712. Once again, the number is 323-580-5712. And for those of you that are listening via Blog Talk Radio, leave your comments. Click the follow button or follow me on Twitter, and that's at TaylorMade101. I'll be reading your tweets live on the air. And I also have a chat room open. Out there in the chat room, you can leave your comments or ask questions. So whatever your pleasure, chat room, Twitter, Facebook, or just plain old my bell, we want to hear from you. But first, let's take a look at the current events.
Greetings and salutations, everyone. We have another great show in store for you today. I'm your host, Patrick Cook, coming to you live from Dallas, Texas, as I do every Sunday at 4 p.m. Central Time. What's on tap today is going to be a couple of topics. One, mainly Donald Sterling, right? We're going to do our Black Acre at the top of the hour like we always do, but I want to start the show about Donald Sterling. And I want to get your comments, particularly around the alleged comments he made to his girlfriend, Steviano. And by now, I'm sure you've heard the audio of the alleged Donald Sterling making some pretty startling comments about black people. I guess it's interesting. In some ways, I'm not surprised at the comments, but in other ways, the way in which an owner of a majority African-American or black league of players would respond in such a way just keeps me, it just puzzles me a little bit. You know, we often laugh and joke about the way in which the NBA or the drafts, NBA drafts or the NFL draft take place. When they put them on a pedestal, they have them run, jump, and they have them, you know, hold at their arms, look at their teeth, you know, things of that nature. It seems to me as if this is just a high-profile a mechanism that's kind of, you know, along the same lines as they used to do back in slavery. So I'm not saying that it is slavery, but it smells like it, you know, especially when you have an owner that that looks at the players in the way that Donald Sterling talked about. Now, if you haven't heard the comments, I want to play a little bit of them right now from TMZ, and once we play them, I want to get you to respond. And to respond, the number to call is 323-580-5712. Once again, the number is 323-580-5712. But take a listen. If you haven't heard this, it is pretty telling the way in which the owner, Donald Sterling, and the way in which he talks to his reportedly girlfriend, Steviano, which was interesting is that he's married, and I think that's well known. And so for him to have this type of conversation is pretty interesting. And what's more, before I even play the tape, it talks about the fact that there was a picture that she posted on Instagram that was with Magic Johnson and a couple of other people. It was a girl and Magic Johnson in one shot, and there is another guy in another shot. And the fact that she posted those on Instagram, and I guess it was at the game or in L.A., the owner, Donald Sterling, got pretty upset with her, and he made some crazy comments to her. So take a listen, and let me get you the response. And I wonder if the media or people will take this comments and make it about Donald Sterling, or will they make it about the NBA or the girlfriend, or will they make it about the wife, the lawsuit, the culture in the United States with respect to racism, or will they make this whole controversy about Magic Johnson? So, right now, I'm pretty positive that the publicist of Donald Sterling and the owner of the LA Clippers is in their team of people is getting ready to spin this as much as they can. And so I wonder if they're going to take one of these approaches. Again, they're going to make it about Donald Sterling, which means that he's going to own up to it in the way that Paula Deen did when she came out in a similar type of comments that were made, or will they make it about the NBA? Will they try to make it a bigger issue with respect to the NBA? Or another option, of course, would be to make it about the girlfriend, make it about her tactics, the fact that she reportedly sold the tape to TMZ for money. Some said it was in the millions of dollars to get the actual. To get the audio. The other would say is about the wife. There's a pending lawsuit that is involved, that the wife is involved with, as well as the girlfriend, Staviano. And so will they make it about the lawsuit? Or will this become a bigger issue of the culture in the United States? And we've had several people just make statements, blatant statements like this about minorities, specifically when it comes to African Americans, black people. Or then finally, will they make this about Magic Johnson? Will the fact that Magic Johnson came out to say something, LeBron James came out to say something, will they make it about the players, specifically Magic Johnson, because he was in the shot? You know, will they make it? So what would be the spin on this in the coming weeks and days to come, right? You know, and so it'd be interesting. But in the meantime, let's take a listen at the actual audio of what happened, and then let me get you to respond. Take a listen. Again, this is allegedly Donald Sterling speaking.
Honey, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, too.
I wish I can change the skin. The color of my skin.
That isn't the issue. You missed the issue.
What's the issue?
The issue is we don't have to broadcast
anything. I'm not broadcasting anything. I don't do anything wrong.
Nobody said you did anything wrong.
I don't do anything wrong. If we ever have any issues, it's because people call you and tell you things about me that
but
are not
why
true.
Why are you broadcasting?
I'm not broadcasting anything.
Taking pictures with minorities. Why?
What's wrong with minorities? What's wrong with black people?
Nothing.
What's wrong with these families?
It's like talking to an enemy. There's nothing wrong with minorities. They're fabulous. Fabulous. Because you're an enemy to me.
Why?
Because you don't understand.
I don't understand what?
Nothing.
That racism still is alive?
No, but there's a culture.
What culture?
People steal certain things. Hispanics steal certain things towards blacks. Blacks steal certain things towards other groups. It's been that way historically, and it will always be that way.
But it's not that way in my heart and in my mind.
But maybe you want to adjust to the world.
But why? If the world doesn't do anything for me and they don't make me happy.
You're right. I don't want to argue with you. I don't want to argue.
I can't be racist in my heart.
And that's good. I'm living in a culture, and I have to live within the culture. So that's the way it is. That's how I got it. I got the whole message. You live with your heart.
I don't... You're,
you can't be flexible. You can't...
I am flexible. I understand that that's the way you were raised and that's your culture, and I'm respectful. And
well, why do you have to disrespect them? Those that are...
Who am I disrespecting?
The world before you.
Why am I disrespecting them?
Well, what, by walking, you perceive as either a Latina or a white girl. Why should you be walking publicly with black people? Why? Is there a benefit to you?
Is it a benefit to me? Does it matter if they're white or blue or yellow?
I guess that you don't know that. Maybe you're stupid. Maybe you don't know what people think of you. It does matter, yeah. It matters.
Do you know that I'm mixed?
No, I don't know.
You know that I'm mixed.
You told me you were going to remove those. You said, yes, I understand you. I mean, you change from day to day. Wow. So painful. Wow.
People call you and tell you that I have black people on my Instagram, and it bothers you.
Yeah, it bothers me a lot that you want to broadcast that you're associating with black people. You have to?
You associate with black people.
I'm not you, and you're not me. You're supposed to be a delicate white or a delicate Latina girl.
I'm a mixed girl.
Okay. Well, but we
and don't... you're in love with me. And I'm black and Mexican, whether you like it or not,
okay.
Whether the world accepts it or not. And you're asking me to remove something that's part of me and in my bloodstream because the world thinks different of me and you're afraid of what they're going to think because of your upbringing. You want me to have hate? Towards black people?
I don't want you to hate. That's what people do. They turn things around. I want you to love them privately. In your whole life, every day you could be with them. Every single day of your life.
But not in public?
But why publicize it on the Instagram? And why bring it to my games?
Why bring the black people to the games?
I really don't want to discuss that anymore. It's over. I don't want to talk about it.
I'm sorry that you feel that way.
I feel that way so strongly, and it may cause our relationship to just break apart. And if it does, it does. It's better to break apart now than to break apart later.
I'm sorry that you still have people around you that are full of racism and hate in their hearts. I'm sorry that you're still racist in your heart. I'm sorry that you live in a world that still...
How about your whole life? Every day, you could do whatever you want. You could sleep with them. You could bring them in. You could do whatever you want. The little I ask you is not to promote it on that and not to bring them to my games.
I don't bring anyone to the game.
Okay, then. There's nothing to argue about it.
I know.
Okay, we got a big problem here. I really don't feel like going anywhere. I don't feel like going to Europe. I don't feel like just going to the whole thing. We gotta be. If you didn't like someone that I was with, I would stop seeing that person.
I'm sorry, I don't have any more friends. What would you like me to do? Remove the skin color out of my skin?
Is that a real issue, or are you making something up?
I mean, I just don't understand what the issue is.
There's nothing wrong with you or your skin color. Why are you saying these things? To upset me?
Okay. Sweetie, I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry, too. We made a giant mistake, both of us. Everything you say to me is so painful. Do I want you to change the color of your skin? You know how to really hurt somebody. And just, instead of saying, I understand.
I don't understand how you can have so much hate towards minorities.
I don't have any hate. I love them.
I cannot understand.
Why would you say
that? How a person like you who's elevated, who's here, still feels above the world, and you can't even be seen with someone in which is considered of a different skin color.
They can be with me all day long and all night long.
I can't believe that a man who's educated, a man who's a scholar, a man who's...
Well, believe it and stop talking about it. Let's finish our discussion with a period, okay? You're not making any good points. You can't believe this man. That's all I am. I'm not a good person in your eyes. If I was a good person, you wouldn't say, I can't believe this. I can't believe that.
What am I saying?
But you're all lies. I love this.
Look at all this negativity coming from
there's no negativity. I love everybody. I'm just saying, in your lousy Instagram, you don't have to have yourself with walking with black people. You don't have to. If you want to, do it.
If it's white people, it's okay? If it was Larry Bird, would it have made a difference?
You're just a big fighter. I can see. Who would want to live with a woman like you? Who would want to live with a woman? All you ever wanted to do was fight. You're a born fighter.
I'm sorry that you're mad.
You have the worst mouth.
Why are you so angry? Honey, what's wrong?
Well, why would you bring up Larry Bird? What has he got to do with it? You can walk all night long with your sisters or your family.
I saw someone I admire. I admire Magic Johnson.
Okay, good.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
He's made a lot of changes for his community, for the world, for the people, for the minorities. He's helped a lot of people.
Why are you forcing this down my throat? I'm finished talking to you. I have nothing more to say.
And I took a picture with someone I admire.
Good.
And he happens to be black, and I'm sorry.
I think it's nice that you admire him. I know him well, and he should be admired. And I'm just saying that it's too bad you can't admire him privately. And during your entire life, your whole life, admire him. Bring him here. Feed him. Him. I don't care. You can do anything. But don't put him on an Instagram so the world has to see, so they have to call me. And don't bring him into my games, okay?
I don't know him personally.
Please leave me alone. Please, please.
I'm sorry. Is there anything that I can do to make you feel better?
No, you could never make me feel better. You're just a fighter and you want to fight.
Okay, so that was it, and that was a lot more to go on there. But basically, it seems to me as if he was really upset about the picture, right? The fact that she took a picture with Magic Johnson, and that set off a firestorm. I also gathered from the conversation that he got some calls. This is, hey, did you see your girlfriend basically on Instagram with Magic Johnson, and no telling what really happened with the conversation after that. And obviously that kind of sparked something inside of him, and she baited him. I'm going to say, just listening to the conversation, she did bait him a little bit. I mean, it wasn't something that he initiated. She kind of baited him, pulled him down the path. And I must say, not to come to his defense, but, you know, women that are close to you do know how to push the right buttons, and they do know how to draw you in to a particular situation. Now, having said that, though, whatever's inside you will come out if they do pull you in that way. So, because he could have took it a different route. He could have just said, look, you know, I really don't like you taking, you know, pictures with another guy, you know, regardless of who the guy is. You know, he could have went the fact that, you know, if you my girl, you represent me, then I don't want you out there with these other men. You know, it's okay to be with your girlfriends. But he did not do that. He says specifically, I want you to love them, but love them privately. Right? He made a real, he was real adamant about loving them privately. You know, it's okay to do, you know, to do these other things. You can go out and go out with them if you want. You can, you know, make whoopee with them if you want. I mean, he kind of insinuated that she can do all of those things that she wants to privately, but in the public's eye, you know, he don't want her being with any, at least black people, in what I discovered. So what do you think about that? To join the conversation, the number to call is 323-580-5712. Once again, the number is 323-580-5712. I did find it strange, though, that he continued to say issues like, you know, we have a big problem. The fact that don't bring Magic Johnson, and he said him, don't bring him to my games, you know. So I guess it was a natural response for Magic Johnson to come out and say, I really don't want to go to your games, and I'll never go to your games, you know, and things of that nature. So it makes sense to me, Magic's response to what happened. But, you know, I was just interesting to me to see how Donald Sterling kind of went in on the issue and was really adamant about the fact that, you know, he didn't want her to bring Magic Johnson to the game. He really didn't. He wanted her to like black people privately. So is he a racist? I mean, I really didn't hear anything that I wouldn't expect to hear from a person of his stature, from a person that has over 50, 60 years old, has lived through another period in our time where, you know, those type of that language he was using was the norm. You know, again, I'm not, you know, excusing him away. I'm not justifying what he's saying. And, you know, and I'm not even caught up by his comments because, you know, this is not something that I find surprising to me. You know, a lot of people make these comments in private. I mean, these things happen every day. And so I guess I'm not at all surprised by the fact that, you know, Donald Sterling would make these comments. And it's really not a big shock factor. You know, people, you know, talk about blacks every day in this country negatively. You know, and I wonder why. I mean, there's nothing. I mean, black people have made him so much money, you know, and they have been upstanding people. They respected him. I'm pretty sure they've been to his house. He's been to their houses, right? I mean, because this is a kind of a relationship you have with your team. And it seems to me he looks at them as if they are, you know, they work for him, you know. And I guess that's the relationship that you have when you are a CEO or owner, and you have people that work for you. I mean, what else could one expect from Donald Sterling? Now, I know the language he used was kind of interesting, but, you know, I just don't see any fallout happening. You know, I really believe that we will see a lot of the spin happen towards the NBA. The NBA will take some of the brunt of the message. The girlfriend will take some heat. The wife will take some heat. The lawsuit will probably overshadow a lot of the issues associated with the comments, and then the culture. I mean, the United States, and we talk about this all the time, the United States has a problem with racism. I mean, this is not new. You know, in fact, on this show, we outline a blueprint on how to have the conversation a couple of weeks ago. I mean, we talked about having a moderator, defining the terms in which we need to have the conversation, you know, laying the groundwork, and then allowing both sides to, you know, to present their case. I mean, some people will say they have been, been offended, or some people will say they have been, people have been racist against them, and they will make these statements. I'm saying, you know, we can't discount those statements, allow them to say what they need to be, you know, what needs to be said in order for them to kind of get it off their chest. But the conversation needs to happen. And beyond the conversation, we need to take some actions. I mean, it is hard for me to digest in 2014 that we still have this mentality entrenched, engulfed in people's mind. You can dislike a person, or you can dislike a group of people because they've done something towards you, or they've made you feel uncomfortable, embarrassed you, or bullied you. But just to hate a whole race of people, or just to discount, I mean, to me, that's a mental illness. That is a mental illness if you believe that an entire race of people are conducting themselves in such a manner that's inferior, or basically inferior to yours. And so that's a mental illness. I mean, God made us all equal. I mean, we talk about the fact that we about our Creator, and we talk about the Lord, and you know, He said He made us all in His image. And so for some people to believe that they're better than others because of their race is really a mental illness. Now, I mean, the reality is, you know, there are some certain people that are more, that are well off because of they have more financial means. You know, there are people that, you know, can eat every day, that has to have a roof over their head. And, you know, and they may even have a bigger roof or a more solid roof. And things of that nature. But, I mean, at the end of the day, we're all created equal. I mean, the Lord made us all equal. So for somebody to go off on a limb and say that they are, in fact, better than somebody else, or look down on an entire race of people, to me, is a mental illness. We're going to take a quick break. And there are some additional racist comments attributed to the Clippers' Donald Sterling. When we return, we're going to talk about that as a report on CNN. That was posted a couple hours ago. So when we return, we're going to talk a little bit about those additional comments. You're listening to Current Events with Patrick Cook. Be back in a moment.
You are listening to Current Events with Patrick Cook, coming to you live from Dallas, Texas. My mom and dad will be right back after these messages.
Enterprises have joined forces with Google Inc. and Amazon.com. With this new partnership, our company, Tailor Made Training and Consulting, Current Events, and Ask Jima can now offer you the best deals 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Whether you're looking for discounted books for your book club or a very special gift for a friend, family member, or loved one, Tailor Made's Marketplace is where you should go first. Visit our website at TaylorMade101.com. and click on Marketplace to get the best deals today.
Thank you for your call. Let me read you a couple of my Twitter family, and then I'll have you respond, Dr. Hutchinson. But I want to read the first one from one of my best Twitter family members, Ask Jima. And Ask Jima says, Reverend Al, today is my birthday, and I'm sitting in Barnes & Noble Starbucks watching you online, driving people around me crazy. And I want to wave at her and the folks she's driving crazy and wish her a happy birthday on her 21st birthday. That's my friend. And, of course, my East Boone friend.
Need a new website? Haven't figured out your social media strategy? Are you finally ready to tweet, post, or blog? Well, look no further. Go to TaylorMade101.com. That's TaylorMade101.com. We are the number one resource for small businesses and nonprofits. We're a full-service, interactive consulting firm specializing in social media marketing, web design, technology workshops, as well as leadership and management training. So go to TaylorMade101.com. That's TaylorMade101.com. Google me.
Welcome back to Current Events with Patrick Cook. To join the conversation, the number to call is 323-580-5712. Once again, the number is 323-580-5712. So We've been talking about Donald Sterling, the owner of the LA Clippers team, and the fact that he was reportedly making racist comments, allegedly racist comments, to his girlfriend, Staviano, earlier this month, about a picture that was on Instagram and with Irvin Magic Johnson. And so there was a conversation that took place. We played not too long ago, and he, in essence, said that you know, that he really didn't want her taking pictures. So I wonder what you think about this, because basically, to me, she kind of baited him a little bit. I mean, she, when I listened to the tape in its entirety, she kind of pulled him in for the most part. She kind of you know, basically said, hey, you know, you are, you know, why do you don't want me, you know, black people? You know, and sometimes your girlfriend can have you really know enough about you to kind of know what buttons to push. So she really pushed his buttons. I mean, she pushed him to the limit. Now, granted, you know, a person doesn't really have to go there in most cases. But, you know, he did. He went there. And he kind of highlighted the fact that, you know, maybe she was stupid, you know, and he wanted her to love people privately, African Americans privately. And so why is it that, you know, he was acting in such a manner, you know? So it just, to me, it's just interesting. But not only that, there were some other things that were posted. CNN said that the sports gossip website Deadspin released some more audio from a conversation with similar type of comments, racist comments attributed to the owner, Donald Sterling. The recording is almost 5 minutes long. It's a conversation that reports that Sterling talking with his girlfriend, Staviano, early this month about an Instagram feed. And if authentic, the remarks seem to reflect Sterling's embarrassment and frustration with her over association with the Clippers game, with bringing an African-American to the Clippers game. NBA legend Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who was a Clippers special assistant coach in 2000, told CNN, "I know him. I know his voice, and I'm not surprised by this very much." So there's a lot packed into that comment. I mean, is this something that, you know, that people know that has been happening and is just kind of just taking it on face value? Is okay for you know, for him to do this because he's the owner, he's paying all these people millions of dollars? So is it racism? You know, so anyway, but Abdul-Jabbar said Sterling was congenial in person, and that the big man coach never heard any racist words from Sterling himself. Still, the recording is very offensive and repugnant attitude for someone to have, and for him to be an employer of so many people of color. It kind of blows your mind. Johnson, speaking on the ABC pregame show Sunday, says Sterling needs to go. He shouldn't own a team anymore, and he should stand up and say, "I don't want to own a team anymore," Johnson said. So what do you think? I mean, he's an owner. I mean, this is America, right? We have the freedom of speech. We have a freedom of opinion. He has the right to own the team. But, you know, we the people also have the right not to patronize his team. You know, as an owner of, you know, players have the right not to play for that team. So to ask him not to own the team, I think is not American. You know, we have choices. I mean, people have been talking about now quite naturally, if he's breaking any laws, if he's breaking some laws, then we should consider that. But it doesn't seem to me that he's broken any laws. I mean, he has an opinion. You know, it's a bad one, if you ask me. He has an opinion, but is that opinion enough to say you can't own a game, you know, you can't own a team anymore? I mean, there are so many people running around with these type of attitudes. You know, if they were exposed, I mean, people wouldn't own anything anymore. You know, on both sides of the aisle. So it's interesting to see if, you know, people patronize his scheme. You know, I think the Clippers are playing right now, Golden State, and Golden State last I saw was up on them pretty substantially. It was at halftime moments ago. But now when they go back to L.A. to play the game, will it be sold out? Will there be a person in the stand? Will people tune into the TV to give them ratings, you know? So, you know, it works in a kind of a weird thing, because I mean, when it comes to you know, you make this kind of comment against Jews, you're going to be shut down. When you make these comments, like Stephen Colbert makes some comments about Asians, and they almost shut him down. When you make comments about blacks, though, you know, it's very seldom that anything happens. I mean, I can give you accounts, you know, that they get a slap on the hand or maybe, but they're back on making money as if nothing happens. I mean, look at Rush Limbaugh. He's the golden child of making racist comments, making comments against black people. And, you know, people will pull his cards for a few minutes, but he's back on top just like he normally is. Paula Deen is a recent case. You know, there are other cases like that, and he's another one. You know, Donald Sterling, he'll be back. They'll be playing in the NBA, you know, finals, not finals, but they'll be playing in the playoffs here next week. And so, you know, I don't see anything happening to Donald Sterling. I also believe that they're going to, you know, take this thing and spin it a few different ways. They're going to make it about the NBA. Or they're going to make it about this girlfriend, the wife, the lawsuit. You know, they may even try to say it's a bigger issue in the United States and not mention Donald Sterling in the wake of this. They're going to be mentioning more of a United States. They're going to be asking President Obama to take a step forward, and they're going to try to make it about the president. They're going to try to make it about Democrats. So they're going to try to make it about something other than Donald Sterling. I mean, he will be in the limelight for, you know, maybe another couple of days, but he will slowly fade to the rear as they begin to put something else in the foreground. I mean, he'll be in the background, and the NBA will come up in the foreground, or the girlfriend will come in the foreground, or the wife, or the culture, or Magic Johnson. They may even pull Magic Johnson into the foreground. But Donald Sterling, the guy, rich man, you know, billionaire, yeah, he's going to get away with it. With these comments, and you know, he's a freedom of speech. He can say what he wants to. You know, is this the right attitude for the NBA, the National Basketball Association? You know, we don't know. You know, Chris Paul is a chairman of the Players Association. I know he has to weigh in on this as well, and some others are involved in it. But you know, at the end of the day, you know, he's not. There's not too much going to happen to Donald Sterling. He is going to go on the team, and we'll be talking about something else in 2 weeks. You know, especially because this was done to the African-American culture. You know, people pretty much overlooked that, you know, this type of behavior when it comes to blacks. You know, Supreme Court, you know, overturned the Voting Rights Act, or at least some of the portions of it. They've had some successful striking out of affirmative actions. I mean, so when it comes to, you know, African Americans and blacks in America, there's not going to be a lot that's going to be done favorably towards that race of people. Now, granted, you know, I don't look at it as if, you know, that's my concern. I'm going to continue to fight my good fight every day and continue to do my part. But, you know, I'm just telling you that history has. If history is any indication of what's going to happen over the next several weeks, you know, he'll fade to the background, and some other issue will be in the foreground, and we won't be talking about this anymore. All right, it's time to another break. When we return, I want to talk a little bit more about the additional comments attributed to Donald Sterling out of CNN, and it's really from Deadspin reported. And we're going to talk about that when we turn out the break. You're listening to Current Events with Patrick Cook. Be back in a moment.
enterprises have joined forces with Google Inc. and Amazon.com. With this new partnership, our companies, TaylorMade Training and Consulting, Current Events, and Ask Gema, can now offer you the best deals 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Whether you're looking for discounted books for your book club or a very special gift for a friend, family member, or loved one, TaylorMade's Marketplace is where you should go first. Visit our website at TaylorMade101.com and click on Marketplace to get the best deals today.
Current Events with Patrick Cook is joining the fight with First Lady Michelle Obama to help feed hungry children and stop childhood obesity. During the school year, many children receive free and reduced price breakfast and lunch as a result of the school breakfast and national school lunch programs. However, when the last bell sounds, marking the end of the school year, for many, it marks the beginning of hunger that will plague them throughout the summer. Here at Current Events, we're going to fill that nutrition gap and make sure children can get the nutritious meals they need. To learn how you can help with this worthy cause, go to TaylorMade101.com and click on Hunger Free. That's TaylorMade101.com and click on Hunger Free.
Thank you for your call. Let me read you a couple of my Twitter family, and then I'll have you respond, Dr. Hutchinson. But I want to read the first one from one of my best Twitter family members, Ask Gema. And Ask Gema says, Reverend Al, today is my birthday, and I'm sitting in Barnes & Noble Starbucks watching you online, driving people around me crazy. And I wanted to wave at her and the folks she's driving crazy and wish her a happy birthday on her 21st birthday. That's my friend. And of course, my Eastbourne friend.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of Current Events with Patrick Cook.
Patrick Cook. Welcome back to Current Events with Patrick Cook. To join the conversation, the number to call is 323-580-5712. Once again, the number is 323-580-5712. So the other comment that were made by Donald Sterling, at least reportedly by Deadspin, it reads, the woman says she didn't think the man is racist, but the people around him have poisoned minds. It's the world. You go to Israel, the blacks are just treated like dogs, the man said. He says that there are white Jews and black Jews, and they are treated 100% differently. And is that right, the woman asked? It isn't a question. We don't evaluate what's right and wrong. We live in a society. We live in a culture. We have to live within that culture, the man replies. When the woman says she doesn't share the man's views about race, he tells her, well, then, if you don't feel, don't come to my games. Don't bring people and don't come. The woman who says she is mixed race reminds him most of the team's players are African Americans. I support them and give them food and clothes and cars and houses. Who gives it to them? Does someone else give it to them? Do I know that I have? Who makes the game? Do I make the game or do they make the game? The woman compares racial discrimination to the Holocaust. And you're Jewish. You understand discrimination, she says. The man disagrees with the analogy and says that what he's talking about is not discrimination. There's no racism here. If you don't want to be walking into the basketball game with a certain person, is that racism, the man says. But at any rate, there's an investigation on the way, and NBA Commissioner Adam Silver said Saturday that Sterling, who has owned the basketball franchise for nearly three decades, is now under investigation over the comments attributed to him. So should he be under investigation? Should he have be a right to voice his opinion or voice his views Isn't this a good thing for people to know where he stands? I mean, they have an option that now either patronize him by going to his game, supporting him, buying his products. Players are under contract and subsequently may be forced legally to stay and play and do their job to the best ability. But the consumers, the ones that buy their tickets, purchase their gear, go out and read them, you know, read the reports and buy the newspapers and things of that nature that are associated with the team, can vote with their dollars, you know. And you know, what's interesting is that you have a situation where this guy probably has been, I mean, this has been embedded within his heart for years, probably. And for him to have that type of attitude towards people, I'm not going to say it's just African-American people, there's probably others as well. I mean, when you have a privileged lifestyle, sometimes you think that you are a much better than others. I mean, you know, you are a millionaire and they're not, right? You know, but at any rate, there's other things that are happening within this case. And let me read to you from what CNN.com is reporting about this issue. And it just says that he cautioned that Sterling must be afforded due process so he would not speculate on any possible punishment. This is the NBA commissioner speaking about the issue. And he wanted to make sure that he gave him some due process before, you know, saying anything specifically about the case. Now, speaking about the recording, we don't know if it is legitimate or it has been altered. Again, you know, they're going to make this about something else at the end of the day. We will see in the weeks to come. Will it be about Donald Sterling? Will it be about altering the tape? Would it be about the NBA, the girlfriend, the wife, the lawsuit, the culture, or Magic Johnson? But there will be another spin. You can best believe that. He also goes on to say, we don't know that the woman on the tape, who we believe released it to TMZ, is the defendant in a lawsuit brought by Sterling family alleging that she embezzled more than $1.8 million, who told Sterling that she would get even. So another spin here is that it may be about the lawsuit, you know, about the embezzlement of $1.8 million. You know, it may be about the fact that, you know, whose voice on the tape. It may end up, they said it's not his. You know, you can get an expert to pretty much say anything these days with enough money, you know. And so neither TMZ nor Deadspin has said who made the recording or how the website obtained it. The man alleged to be Sterling's takes particularly exception to a photo she posted on Instagram with Johnson. So we all know about that. And so quite naturally, people have been asking the president to weigh in on this controversy. And here's at a press conference in Malaysia, Prime Minister Obama was asked about the comments on the recording. And he said this: when ignorant folks want to advertise their ignorance, you don't really have to do anything. You just let them talk. That's what happened here. So regardless of who it was, Donald Sterling or not, you know, it is the fact that whoever it was voicing their ignorant comments like that is exactly what the president said. They are pretty ignorant. And I liken an issue to mental illness. When anybody really feels that, take that position on any particular situation, I liken it to mental illness. But at any rate, President Obama also said that Sterling's alleged comments are an example of how the United States continue to wrestle with the legacy of race and slavery and segregation. And that's profound. You know, the United States continues to wrestle with the legacy of race and slavery and segregation in the United States. And it's so profound. The president of NAACP in California suggested fans boycott the Clippers game. Now, we also suggest that African-Americans and Latinos should honor Sterling's request and not attend their games. you know, and I'm pretty sure Sterling would be fine with that. You know, you get a chance to see, you know, people put your money where your mouth is, right? And you get a chance to see really who support this guy, or not necessarily him, support his position, right? Because there's a lot of people that agrees with his position. There's a lot of people that disagree with his position, but there's a lot of people, and maybe more than we would want to believe, but there's a lot of people that support his position. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see, you know, people come out in record numbers to be able to support him. And if that happens, that tells you where we are with respect to race, especially offending black people in America, right? I mean, it happens all the time. You know, it happened with Clive Bundy the other day. I don't know what's wrong with these Bundys. Ted Bundy, Clive Bundy, I don't know what's going on. But anyway, you know, it's just happening, you know, frequently. You know, every so few months or so, you're going to hear somebody make this crazy comment against blacks in the United States. And most of the people that are alive today had nothing to do with them. In fact, you know, we talked about in the show how blacks are killing blacks. I mean, it should be black people coming out making these statements because they're killing each other as opposed to anybody else. I mean, they use the N-word against themselves on records, and they sell billions of copies. They call each other, you know, by the names, and they call it B's and H's, and, you know, I mean, you know, they're killing each other in Chicago by record numbers. And so, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if you saw an African-American make these statements about, you know, other blacks, because they're really being treated poorly by each other in a lot of cases, not all cases, but a lot of cases. But for this guy who's been in nothing but benefiting from, you know, black people, I just don't understand why he would make a comment like that. It's beside me on why he would make a comment like this. And, you know, and people, and again, I think people are going to come out and support him. I think they're going to come out and, you know, where they're white, you know, and come out and support him, and just like it didn't happen. And then the story will become no longer about Donald Sterling. It'll become more about the culture of the United States, the legacy of race and segregation and racism in the United States. You know, the legacy of race, slavery, and segregation. It will become more about the lawsuit. You'll start to see more and more people talk about the lawsuit. Where's the wife? You're going to hear people to bring up the wife, the girlfriend. She and how she obtained information and will overshadow his comments at the end of the day. You know, people are going to want to talk about, you know, her being devious and her going out and recording this person without their knowledge, and will it be admissible in any kind of way? Because, you know, both parties need to know that they're being recorded. You know, I don't know why that would be relevant, but we will hear that. You will hear Magic Johnson's culpability in this issue. You will hear some issues about Magic Johnson shouldn't have said anything, or LeBron James not saying anything. You hear people on Fox News come out and celebrate Donald Sterling and the fact that, you know, and what he did was not wrong, and they were talking more about how the girlfriend baited him in. They like to support. They support issues like this because they know it stirs people up. You'll hear the NBA in their investigation. You'll hear more about the fact that the NBA has taken a position and they're doing their investigation, but you won't hear a lot about Donald Sterling. He will fade to the background, and these other issues will come up to the foreground. Also, in this particular report, it says that we also suggest that Sterling was to receive a Lifetime Achievement Award at an event next month to mark the 100th anniversary of LA's NAACP. But the national organization tweeted Sunday that that won't happen. So the NAACP has come out and has taken a stand, primarily by saying, A, boycott the game, and B, we're not going to present Sterling with this NAACP Lifetime Achievement Award. You know, and it's interesting to see how they got him in the first place. I mean, how was he recognized in the first place? And no one on the committee knew any of this, had no idea this was, you know, who he was. So I'm just glad the spirit of W.B. Du Bois was able to interject themselves and end up making sure this was exposed before he got this major award, and then all of a sudden it surfaces later, and then the NAACP have a slap in their face. What about the team, the L.A. Clippers? How are they going to respond to this issue? You know, there were some comments made by Doc Rivers. He said, "I don't know if I'm surprised or not." You know, that's an interesting comment in itself. You know, you heard that earlier when I talked about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar making a comment about him not being surprised as well. So what's going on here? I mean, why are they not surprised when you're talking about a person make this comment, you know? And again, I'm not surprised either. I think that would be my position as well, to see somebody from this era, you know, make a statement like that. And, you know, it wouldn't surprise me at all either. So at any rate, time to take a quick break. When we come back at the top of the hour, of course, we're going to do our Black Acre moment. And we'll continue to revisit this issue on Donald Sterling, because I want to see where it goes, right? Are they going to switch sides and begin to start talking about the NBA, the girlfriend, the wife, the lawsuit, the culture of the United States, where they start bringing Magic Johnson, other players into the conversation and make it more about them than about Sterling? But we'll see. I think the next 72 hours will be critical. You know, the fact that it'll get the momentum over the weekend and start Monday morning, more people have been saturated with the whole news and things of that nature. So it'd be interesting to see what happens over the next few days. But I think, again, that Donald Sterling will begin to go to the background, and you'll start to hear more other issues come in the foreground about the girlfriend. You know, why did she bait him in? You know, and people can resonate with, I mean, it resonates with people, right? Your girlfriend or your wife knows how to push your buttons, right? They know how to get you fired up and make you say certain things. But the reality is, when you do that, when they do that, if you are a deviant person, then the deviant behavior is going to begin to manifest itself. And I think that's what happened in this particular instance. Yeah, she kind of baited him. If you listen to the tape, she pulled him in. She kind of hooked, line, and sinkered him. Now, granted, the picture that was exposed with her and Magic Johnson and the other young lady in the picture, you know, I don't think that's enough to incite this type of response for an individual. But who knows? I mean, if you have this preconceived notion about a race of people, primarily, you know, when you're talking about blacks, you know, people make an association with their sexuality, and he may have been, you know, felt some kind of inferiority complex because you see this large African-American male with his girlfriend. He could have made some inference there, and then he's saying that don't take the pictures in public. He says, you know, if you want to go out and love them, you want to go out and lay down with them. He didn't use that word. He used some other words. But if you want to do those things, do them privately. You know, in other words, don't be in public with black people. You know, and so, I mean, that was his position. I mean, he stated that. And so it will become more about the girlfriend as opposed to Donald Sterling. You'll see more people want to know where the wife is. You'll see people want to start talking about the lawsuit as if it is the main issue. Or they may begin to attack Magic Johnson or the culture of the United States, as, you know, they may begin to bring President Obama in this. You know, they kind of high-sided him with the question when he was at a press conference, and they said that, you know, and when ignorant folks want to advertise their ignorance, you don't really have anything to do. So just let them talk. So, you know, it may be become about any of these things. So, but at any rate, you know, what do you think? Does, you know, is this something, should the NBA do something? You know, my position really is, I'm kind of, you know, torn by the issue. I'm torn only because when I look at the fact that he's an owner of a team, you know, and he was baited by his girlfriend to pull him in and make these comments. She recorded him, you know, without his knowledge, you know, and, you know, he's a job creator, right? I mean, he's keeping people employed and, you know, he's on. And so the people can go out and protest by not attending the games, you know. So it's pretty interesting. We're going to go through the phone lines real quick. And we're going to take some calls. Let's go to the phone line. We got a caller here, 0606. Give us your name and where you're calling from. What's your comment?
Leo Baron Hicks. How are you, sir?
Absolutely wonderful, Mr. Hicks. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you.
Good, good. We're going to go to Black Ager here in just a few moments. But before we do that, I want to get your position. I want to get your position on the issue associated with Donald Sterling. You know, he came out and made some comments about African-Americans by saying that you should love them privately. You know, the fact that you shouldn't bring them to the game. The fact that the issue with respect to the Holocaust is not synonymous with the issue with slavery and black people. So what do you think about Donald Sterling's comments, and should he be allowed to continue to own a team in the NBA?
Well, first of all, the Black Acre blog is on this very subject. It's on the comments that he made, as well as the comments, racial comments regarding Clive and Bundy, the rancher in Nevada, I believe it is.
Oh, yeah.
I think both comments are breathtakingly ignorant. I think they are patently hypocritical, and I think they are morally repugnant.
Okay, so let's do that. We're gonna shift down to the Black Acre segment, but before we do that, I wanna get another caller on the line. All right, Colin, 9743. Give us your name. Where you calling from?
Well, good evening or afternoon, Mr. Cook. How are you and your guest today?
Absolutely wonderful. How are you?
I am wonderful. This is Mrs. Cook calling in from the road today.
Awesome. How was the book signing tour?
Book signing was great. I had an awesome time in Kansas City, Kansas over the weekend, and I'm headed home, so I'm excited about that to get ready for my next book signing. So things are going well.
Awesome, awesome. And we're talking about the new book published by Jima Cook called Reflections, What I Know to Be True. It's an awesome book, and I just go out to TaylorMade101.com/reflections and get your copy today. Again, that's TaylorMade101.com/reflections. So, Jima, I want to ask you right now, you heard our friend of the show, Leo Baron Hicks, talk about when we're going to get to the Black Acre blog in just in a few moments. But I want to get your position right now on Donald Sterling, the fact that he made those comments, and how should the NBA respond?
Well, my concern is that my main concern is that, unfortunately, these are not new comments from Donald Sterling. His opinions about people of color has a history, so to the point that he's been sued several times for housing discrimination. He was sued by Elgin Baylor back earlier 2000s concerning some contract issues and things of that nature. So the fact that he has been allowed to continue even amidst those sorts of allegations and lawsuits is questionable. So I want to find out as well from former Commissioner David Stern, because all of these things happened on his watch. So the fact that the things we're hearing about now didn't just happen with this new administrator, but the leadership of David Stern should also come into question since he was the one in charge when all these other things were happening. So you have that to look at. I disagree with your commentary in that the girlfriend baited him in some kind of way by how she was questioning him. She just, she stated, knew who she was talking to. So they've probably had a similar conversation before because he didn't seem as though he was stuttering and stammering to answer her question. So the fact that somebody called him about a picture they saw of her on her Instagram that he was now embarrassed about, whoever that was that called him, who knows? It could have been another owner that called him. We don't know that he felt the need to say something to her about it. The backstory with the wife, and let's just talk about you having a wife, a girlfriend. Let's just talk about that because no one is saying that it's an ex-wife.
It's the American way. It's the American way. It's the American way.
Exactly. And we're making that as though it's okay. So here's this man married, 81 years old, married, and now he has some young, very young woman as his girlfriend, and it's the wife who has released the information about the loss they have against the girlfriend for what they've termed to be her embezzling $1.8 million, which how do you embezzle unless you work? So I don't know, does she work for Mr. Sterling and then they develop their relationship? Because I'm trying to figure out how she embezzles money. And she's saying the things he gave her were gifts and things of that nature. But it's still the wife talking about the girlfriend, and they're having this dialogue as if all this is okay. So that's the backstory. So, my thing is I want to know David Stern's position. I want to know what he has to say about it. As I stated, a lot of these things happened on his watch. I appreciate what Magic Johnson had to say today and the fact that he stated that he told Doc Rivers, the coach of the Clippers, that you all go out and do what you have to do. Let us fight this one. I like that. That shows leadership right there. I respect you enough that I know you got a job to do as a man. You still got a job to do. And you got to show those players how to be a man in the midst of adversity. So let us fight this battle for you. I appreciated that. That was sound wisdom coming from a man that has seen some things himself. So I thought that was great coming from Magic today, and I believe him when he says, let us fight this one. We have not heard the last. I understand they're releasing more, that the conversation was about an hour long. So it wasn't like it was a quick, oh, let me get him on tape. They talked for about an hour about this. So obviously, it was a comfortable conversation. So I think this is just the beginning. I think the NBA has to do what it needs to do. You find a player $25,000 for saying the N-word. You find Kobe $100,000 for using a gay slur. You're going to do something to this man or you will lose all credibility. And when 70% of your workforce can American and you have a owner referring to them as such and doesn't want to be around them and don't bring them to your games, well, who else is out here spending money buying your jersey? And representing and trying to keep things looking a certain way. It's people of color. Who's working in those stadiums? It's people of color. So the unfortunate thing is he was comfortable enough having this conversation with her because he's had it with her before. So I'm glad she did record it. And according to, which we can't really trust CNN legal people because the attorney they had on record was Marco Mara, who is George Zimmerman's former attorney. But he was saying because it was in the state of California, she did not have to inform him that she was recording the conversation. So that might not be an issue out there. But it's just interesting that, and from what I understand, the Clippers was getting pretty smoked today. They was down by 18 last I heard. So it did have an impact on their play, and that's unfortunate. But how could it not? How could it not? There's no resolution, and you're just hearing so much stuff. So somebody has to be in that. At some point, they had to get through the day, and I'm thinking that they get through the day, and Doc and Chris Paul, and maybe they'll bring in a Magic, just kind of talk to them to get them, okay, you guys still want to win. So how do you do that? Because, you're still the one playing. He ain't playing. You're still the one playing, and you got way too much talent to just lay down and fold up. So
yeah,
that's
you
what
know,
I think.
And that's brilliant. You always come in with brilliant commentary, you know, and I applaud you for that and love you for that. You know, what's interesting to me is that nothing is going to happen to this guy. I'm just going to be frank. The fact that Paula Deen came out and said what she said, she still got her stuff. Rush Limbaugh does it monthly. It's like a monthly thing that he does. Clive Bundy has done it the other day on Fox News, and they played it over. They had it on repeat play. And now here we have another guy, Donald Sterling, is doing it. It's nothing going to happen. I mean, we're going to talk about it.
But you think, and we get happy about it.
Well, hold on for a minute. I mean, it just happens all the time. And, you know, and nothing happens. I mean, you know, and blacks always get all up in arms about the guy making a comment, saying this, saying that. But, nothing, you know, what? So what? So what he said it, you know? I mean, what's wrong? What's wrong? Why we don't say nothing about the fact that we have all these records being played with the N-word on it, and they cussing each other out and calling each other B's and H's and killing each other and all. I mean, stuff that matters, right? He made a comment, so don't go to his games. I mean, that's how I feel. I mean, yeah, he shouldn't have said it, but how many people do we know in the United States have this mindset? A lot.
Right, but we're not talking about them. We're talking about him. So let's put it in context. We're talking about this one man right now for this issue who owns a team that even his team is over 70%, 80% African-American, and you're making a statement about the very people. And then you have former players who are now brave enough to come out and say something because it's just taking its toll on them. And then I think the difference here, and I could be shallow in my thought process, but I doubt it, I think the difference here is that he said something about one of the most revered players that's ever played the game, and that's Magic Johnson.
You said don't bring him to the game. That's it.
But you put his name out there. You attached him to your racist thoughts. And so yeah, now you put Magic Johnson, basically the ambassador basically of NBA, the biggest smile, the grin, the love that people around the world have for Magic, and that's the name that comes out of your mouth. I mean, you know, I believe everything happens for a reason, and you're right. We have so many other things to be concerned about that is affecting us as a community that this is really low on the totem pole. But
yeah,
if this is the one that captures the attention, that gets something done, and something's going to happen. I disagree with you that nothing's going to happen. It might not be what we want. It might not be severe enough. They may not can make him give up his ownership, but he's going to get fined, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure of that. He's going to get suspended. He's going to lose some money. Now, it's not probably going to matter to him because he's a billionaire, whatever they do to him, you know. But something's going to happen. But there's enough pushback, and it's not just from people of color. I've seen enough people in the sports world that are white men who have stated he should not be an owner. Now, I am disappointed in Mark Cuban, who made a statement on Twitter today that says the only thing NBA owners should be talking about is what his team is doing in the playoffs. So I kind of got a problem with that because you had an opportunity to say something, and that's what you chose to say. But, you know, so you have it on – so you'll get that. But other than that, I think something will happen. It, of course, it's probably not going to be what we think it should be, but I don't think he's going to be able to walk away. And if it wasn't him, the silence that he's given is deadly. Because when you are this silent on an issue, if you knew that wasn't you talking, you didn't. Heaven and earth would have to move to keep me from coming on TV saying that's not me talking.
Yeah, but he's smart.
Obviously,
I mean,
and it's too many people that's heard the voice, that know his voice, and they said it's him talking. So the NBA trying to say they want to authenticate the tape and want to make sure it's him. I get that. They're trying to cover themselves because they're trying to figure out what they're going to do. But I believe in my heart of hearts that they will do something. But I agree with you that, you know, it's a pebble in the big old ocean of the issues we have to deal with in America, especially around race issues. I agree with you on that.
Because, I mean, again, he's quiet because they're going to make it about the NBA. They're going to make it about the girlfriend. They're going to make it about the wife. They're going to make it about the lawsuit or the culture of the United States. the legacy of race, slavery, and segregation, as the president put it, or are they going to make it about Magic Johnson? It won't. At the end of the day, it won't be about Donald Sterling. I can guarantee
you. And see, I know we got to go to the next segment, but that's where I'm going to disagree with you, because had it just been about the girl and the wife and the lawsuit, we would have never gotten all the background information we're getting about him now, about the different things he's done with the housing discrimination and the suits he's settled out of court, and we wouldn't have gotten all that background if they were going to keep it focused on the girl. So I think, you know, at the beginning, that's where they were trying to go. But once reporters, people that have known him, because once people got on TV and was like, this is nothing new, he's been doing this, somebody had to figure out what they meant by that. And I think because that conversation started, it's not going to be as easy for the NBA to sweep it under the rug as they would have done had the backstory not come out. I agree, though. Had the backstory not come out, it would have been about the girl. It would have been about she's the Anna Nicole of the 21st century with this 81-year-old man trying to get him for his money. I agree with you. That would have been the story.
Okay. So I hear you. And I think we're just going to have to disagree on this issue and the fact that he's a rich white man in America. He got a public wife and a public girlfriend. Ain't nobody asking about that. So, I mean, you know, the guy can do what he wants to. He got money. He's going to end up buying somebody. He's going to buy up a couple of radio stations, a couple of news stations, and then the story's going to be gone. So speaking of stories, I want to talk about one that a good friend of the show, Leo Baron Hicks, wrote. And this guy is amazing. If there was one person on earth that had ninja capabilities with words, it would be Leo Baron Hicks. And here's what I mean. The latest blog, go out to Black Acre Policy Forum right now. I mean, if you're under the sound of my voice, I want you to go out to blackacrepolicyforum.org right now and read the latest blog. What and wow is the title, Racism Circa 2014. And here's what it says. And we're going to talk about this because I think it's important, because what he does, he writes so well, but it's so relevant into what happened in our society. And so we're going to have a conversation about this blog today. And so it's so relevant to what's happening today. And it reads as thus. What and wow. This was Black Acre's original reaction when the racially charged comments made by Nevada rancher Cliven Bundy and NBA Los Angeles Clippers owner Donald Sterling were exposed. As a general rule, Black Acre tends to shy away from commenting on the outrage of the moment, adding yet another voice in an already hyper-heated situation is usually not a good idea. More often than not, joining the Amen chorus contributes more heat than light. But the statements here and the lingering underbelly of racism they reveal demand a Black Acre response. For the last 20 years, Cliven Bundy has grazed his cattle and trespassed upon land which he has never owned, i.e. federal land managed by the Bureau of Land Management. In so doing, Mr. Bundy has amassed a debt of over $1 million. To date, he has paid not one red cent of this bill and refuses to do so. According to Mr. Bundy, he is a victim of government overreach and oppression. Mr. Bundy contends that he is entitled to feed his cattle on federal land because he puts it, his family settled the land surrounding his ranch in the 1800s. Not only does he believe himself entitled to the use of the land and its resources as he sees fit, he further contends that the federal government is illegitimate. He therefore claims the moral and legal right to not only continue grazing his cattle on federal land, but to resist the collection of grazing fees by force of arms. Well-known members of the political right have jumped on Bundy's bandwagon as the cause of the day, labeling him and his supporters as true patriots. Other true patriots, many of whom are armed, have joined the crusade. Should violence ensue between them and the federal authorities, they promise to make their female supporters the first casualty by putting them on the front lines. Apparently, no sacrifice is too great when it comes to making a political point. This in and of itself is sufficient blog material. But Mr. Bundy's recent comments on race, and even more noteworthy, during a recent videotaped and recorded interview, Mr. Bundy stated the following. I wanted to tell you one thing I know about the Negro. I recall driving past a public housing project in North Las Vegas, and in front of that government house, the door was usually open, and the older people and the kids, and there is always at least a half dozen people sitting on the porch. They didn't have nothing to do. They didn't have nothing for their kids to do. They didn't have nothing for their young girls to do. And because they were basically on government subsidy, so now what do? They abort their young children. They put their young men in jail because they never learn how to pick cotton. And I've wondered, are they better off as slaves picking cotton and having a family life and doing things, or are they better off under government subsidy? They didn't get no freedom, no more freedom. They got less freedom. As to Mr. Sterling, phone conversation allegedly between him and his girlfriend was recorded by said girlfriend and leaked to the media. During the conversation, the unidentified male voice, his objection to her taking and posting a photograph she took with former NBA player Magic Johnson. The male further admonished her about bringing black people to his games and referred to African Americans as the enemy. Blackacre's position on these comments is as follows. First, the Bundy and Sterling comments on the race are breathtakingly ignorant. Slavery was not a benign institution that benefited African Americans. It was one of the worst institutions ever created. One of the saddest examples of man's inhumanity to man one could imagine. Slaves were not persons within the meaning of the Constitution, and from a legal standpoint, were not measured as human beings. As such, African Americans were considered unworthy of legal recourse and protection and completely undeserving of the minimum in human respect and dignity. African Americans were instead property, more specifically chattel, beasts of burden to be used or misused in any manner our masters desired. Stated differently, the blacks, as Mr. Bundy so indelicately puts it, had the same legal and constitutional rights as his cattle. In fact, given the evolution of laws regarding cruelty to animals, cattle today had more rights than did the antebellum slaves. As to slaves having a family life, slaves were legally prohibited from marrying. What little family we were entitled was sundered by the routine selling of family members to other plantations and or the equally routine abuse of murder of African Americans. Thus, slaves were permitted neither a family nor, in many cases, life itself. Furthermore, there is nothing ennobling about picking cotton, especially when forced to do so. Picking cotton does not build character, does not make one good, kind, or decent person. It is not a particularly attractive career move. In short, African Americans did not prosper under slavery, and we were not better off as slaves than we are as free citizens of the United States, our current difficulties notwithstanding. Nor is there a reasonable comparison between slavery and the receipt of government subsidies. Our receipt of SAD assistance is no more the equivalent of modern slavery than it is the receipt of millions, if not billions, of federal dollars by others, including but not limited to Mr. Bundy. Lastly, Mr. Bundy knows as much about African Americans simply because he has observed some while driving by a housing project in North Las Vegas than the author of this blog knows about the whites merely because he observes one thumping cantaloupes at a neighborhood Walmart. The Sterling comments are beyond ignorant. His apparent objection to a minority girlfriend taking a photograph with another minority and the statement that blacks are the enemy is nothing less than insane paranoia. Second, the Bundy and Sterling positions are patently hypocritical. It bears repeating that minorities are not the only ones who receive government subsidies. Every segment of American society receives government welfare in one form or another, including, but not limited to, corporations, religious institutions, children, the elderly, veterans, farmers, politicians, and women via Title IX preferences. Hence, the question is not who receives government assistance, but who doesn't. And few have prospered more from government handouts than Mr. Bundy. For 20 years, he has trespassed upon and used land that he knew was not his for his own pecuniary gain, to the tune of millions of dollars. Even this figure is subsidized by the very government he disdained. The Bureau of Land Management charges a grazing fee of $1.35 per head of cattle per month, compared to the market rate of over $15 per head per month. But for this federal subsidy, Mr. Bundy would owe 15 times his current debt. It is also important to note that other Nevada farmers who use federal land for grazing purposes act responsibly and pay their fair debt. So too should Mr. Bundy. Equally as important, his assertion that he is entitled to free grazing on government property because his family sold the land in the 1800s is patently false. His ranch was not acquired by the Bundy family until 1948. In short, Mr. Bundy is anything but a victim of government gone rogue, a conclusion verified by multiple court rulings. The conflict between Mr. Bundy and the government has been duly and fully litigated. That Mr. Bundy has consistently lost these legal proceedings may be unfortunate. However, he has been afforded the full panoply of legal rights, and the government is not acting inappropriately by trying to collect on the debt. It is well established that a successful litigant may take the property of a losing party in lieu of payment of a legitimate debt. More revealing is that Mr. Bundy demands law-abiding behavior from others, but exempts himself. That he rails against the evils of abortion and welfare, but is blind to the evils of slavery. That he insists upon freedom absent any corresponding sense of responsibility that he believes himself privileged to trespass upon and use the land of another without recompense. And that he cries foul and considers himself a put-upon victim when he is taken to task. Mr. Bundy then compounds his hypocrisy by insisting that while he should enjoy the benefits of unlimited freedom, others would be better off as slaves who have no such liberty. The irony of the Sterling position is even more duplicitous. Clearly, his contempt for blacks extends neither to his bank account or his dating preferences, his protestations to the contrary. Mr. Sterling's business is driven by the enemy, and his income is derived predominantly from African-American players and a huge black fan base. Thus, he is seen as fraternizing with his players, most of whom are black and the NBA's black fans on a daily basis. But for the very people he refers to as the enemy, he might not be so wealthy. Stated differently, blacks are not Mr. Sterling's enemy in any manner, form, or fashion. Rather, blacks are his bread and butter. Even more hypocritical, personal relationship with the enemy in the form of his half-black and half-Mexican girlfriend. How is it beyond the pale for said girlfriend to take photographs with a former NBA player and a basketball legend who happens to be black? Why is it inappropriate to bring blacks to his basketball game? It is difficult to imagine a greater level of hypocrisy than the exhibited by Bundy and Sterling. Third, the Bundy and Sterling beliefs are morally repugnant. How could any moral, ethical person could reasonably advocate a system of race chattel slavery when African Americans are things and not people, where we were treated like animals and sold like chattel, where our labor was forced with no expectation of compensation, where we could be murdered, sexually assaulted, beaten, humiliated, and otherwise dehumanized at a whim with no legal recourse, where one group of Americans had the absolute right to legally, politically, and socially dominate another group of Americans, where the forced pickings of cotton was considered sound business and public policy, and where a return to this system of racial oppression and injustice is anyone's best interest. It is akin to arguing that Jews prospered during the Holocaust and that any problems the Jewish community may face is the result of never having experienced a gas chamber. that Native Americans were better off walking the trail of tears, and their problems can be cured by of the land and the receipt of blankets infected with smallpox, that women benefit by being persecuted as witches during the Salem witch trials, and that a good burning at the stake will improve their situation, or that Christians flourish when being persecuted in ancient Rome, and that the cure of their ills is to be fed to the lions by modern Nero. The notion that blacks are the enemy and should not even be seen with is equally repulsive. And while none are perfect, and it has yet to be verified that the voice in the recording in his, it has been reported that Mr. Sterling has a well-known history of racial insensitivity. In 2003 and 2006, he was a part of two lawsuits alleging housing discrimination. And in 2009, he was sued by another black NBA legend, Elgin Baylor, for age and race discrimination. In past blogs, Black Acre has argued that not every dispute is a question of race, and that in order to receive a post-racial America, we are better served by approaching public policy issues from a social, economic versus racial perspective. Our position remains unchanged. But we are not there yet, and we would be remiss not to respond to comments as atrocious as these. The comments and beliefs of both Bundy and Sterling regarding African Americans are nothing less than racist rubbish, pure and simple. And what is worse are those who enable and encourage these sentiments. As the Bundy-Sterling comments clearly show, racism is real and material of the American society to the very bottom. We can neither ignore this unfortunate reality nor pretend to the contrary. We are instead obligated to denounce racial injustice whenever it rears its ugly head. Anything less would be a material breach of duty. Leo Baron Hicks. Again, a ninja of words. I'm telling you, man, that is an awesome blog. So, Mr. Hicks, let me say this. Again, you are a ninja when it comes to putting words, putting the pen to the paper, and then this is evident as portrayed here. So when I look at this, and I want to kind of hone in on one paragraph. You say in the past, Black Acre has argued that not every dispute is a question of race, and in that order to achieve a post-racial America, we are better served by approaching public policy issues from a social, economic versus racial perspective. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. And yet you say here opposition remains unchanged. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Sure. You know, Mr. Cook, you know me well. I am always one to call out African Americans when we are less than what we should be. And I've been called exceptionally hard on African Americans, and maybe I am and maybe I'm not. But when I saw these comments by Mr. Bundy and Sterling, I felt obligated to go ahead and denounce those comments as strongly and as publicly as I denounce the bad acts of African Americans. And I felt that if I didn't call Bundy and Sterling out, then Black Acre's credibility was at stake. And so that was the motivating factor, quite frankly, for doing this particular blog. Racism is real, and we do have to call it out whenever it rears its ugly head.
So why is this more so than any other time when you see this? Why this particular instance?
Well, because, again, I thought the comments were so damn ignorant, number one. I mean, that Bundy could argue that he knows about the Negro because he sees a few blacks when he passes a housing complex is absurd. He doesn't know black people merely because he sees some black people. It would be akin to me arguing that all white people are racist idiots because of Mr. Bundy. That is simply not true. And again, the sheer hypocrisy of their position is absolutely amazing. Mr. Sterling his whole career, or at least not his whole career, but he has made tons of money off black people. And the fact that he has a black girlfriend that presumably he has some kind of intimate relations with, but that he still says that black people are the enemy, I mean, you just got to call out that kind of hypocrisy.
I have to agree with you. So let me go to Jim. Jim, what do you think about that? The fact that racism is real, and the fact that I mean, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. The fact that Leo said that we need to address these issues from a social economic versus a racial perspective. But you know, he I think he conceded the point. Racism is still alive in this country. What do you think about that?
It is alive and well, and it is kicking high. And I agree with Leo's commentary on the issue itself, in that we do have to call things out as they are. We have to be able to be fair about it and balanced about it. And so I appreciate that. But he's right. It's highly hypocritical to make such statements and then be considered someone worthy of a lifetime image award from your local NAACP chapter. How does those two even go together? I mean, how do you mesh that and then still be able to say the things that he said and think no one is going to find it offensive that's how you feel about people of color, most specifically African Americans? So that's who you labeled. And then to tell her that, oh, she looks more, you know, like when people see you, they don't see you as black, they see you as white. Really? And so that makes it okay? So it's just, he's right. Racism is alive, it's well, it is kicking, and we've got to be smart about how we address it. That's for sure.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I want to go back to Leo for a moment, and I want to ask Mr. Leo Baron Hicks, what do you think should happen to Sterling? You know, because he's the owner of a team. It's just like anything else. If you're owner of a business, basically, you should have the right to do that. And if you take a position that's made public, you know, people have the right to patronize or not patronize his business. So, I mean, what do you think should happen to this guy?
I think he should be fined severely. I think he should lose that team. Whether it is taken away from him or whether he walks away from it, I don't think that he should have that team. The problem I have with the situation is this. Bundy is ignorant, clearly, but Sterling is in a position of power. And that, to me, is the significant point. You just can't let people who have those views, who are in a position to affect other people, to spread that racism, go unchecked. You've got to hold him accountable, and I think he can and should be held accountable.
So how different is this than having negative views against gay? Or transsexuals, or how different is that from having a view against women? I mean, you know, people have these views in positions of power, and so why can't he just express his views against black people like this? I mean, it's America.
Well,
right?
he can express it, but freedom of speech does not mean that free to speak is free. Rather, it does not mean that you can say anything you want to say and not be held accountable for it. I mean, the First Amendment, the right to free speech, means that the government can't censor speech, that the government can't keep you from saying what you want to say. But it does not mean that you're free from the repercussions or consequences of your words.
Right. So the consequence, though, is, and he's the owner of a team, he should be able to keep his team, right? I mean, well, why not? I mean, people can have the right to go to this game. And now they've been made public.
Well, I don't necessarily – I understand what you're saying. I respect that position. He is the owner of the team. How can you divest himself of the team? But it's bigger than just his rights to ownership. It is also the brand of the NBA. And that brand, I think, takes precedence over his individual rights. And the other owners should band together and say, what are we going to do about it? It's like being a member of any other club. If you damage the brand of the club, the other members can expel you.
Yeah, so you think that's the course of action that they're going to take? You think that's the plausible course of action?
I don't know if they're going to do that, but again, I don't think, though, that he should have anything to do with that team or anything to do with the NBA, because I think it is a much bigger issue than just his individual right to property. Again, as your wife indicated, we've been past this before. He has a well-documented history of blatant racism.
So how has he been able to get away with it for so long then?
Because nobody's held him accountable. Hey, man, if you're employed, if you say something that is outrageous and that damages the brand of your employer, do you think you have a right to that job?
Absolutely, but that don't mean that they want to keep me.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. You know, they will fire you.
The question is the reverse true, though. Is the reverse that the fact that I own the team or I own the company and I say something, who's going to fire me? I mean,
the other members of the league can go ahead and exert pressure on that particular owner and facilitate his departure. Let's put it that way.
I like that. So, Jimmy, you mentioned earlier about Cuban and the fact that his position was that's not something he should be saying. Is this something you think the owners would do, get together? I mean, especially when you got one of them coming out and saying he should be talking about the game and not anything else.
Yeah, I do. I mean, and it took some pushing and prodding because, you know, Michael Jordan don't ever say nothing about nothing. I remember years ago, when he was still playing, and someone said, why don't you ever speak out about issues around race? And he said, because white kids buy my tennis shoes, too. So there was no real anticipation that he would have anything to say now. But people kept pushing him because we're in a different time now. And we're not going to let you get away with some little slick answer like that. And so he did say there's no room for that. Michael Jordan had been the owner of the Bobcats. He did say there's no room for that in the NBA. Now, with Mark Cuban, he's gotten a lot of pushback on Twitter today from people challenging him on the statement that he made. So he may, you know, make some real adjustments to what he was saying. Maybe he was just thinking, you know, excited about how the Mavs got a one-point victory last night over the Spurs, and he was still riding high on that and didn't want to mess up his moment. But regardless, you know, at some point, because there are some rules, regulations, clauses, moral, whatever in the bylaws of ownership, I'm sure there's something in there that with these statements and allegations that have been made, once it is confirmed that they are true, he has violated something, and because of that violation, you know, the penalty could be as stiff as having to relinquish ownership. It could be a year of suspension. It could be an array of things, but it would behoove the other owners, because, as Leo stated, of the club that they're in and the image of the NBA that they've been trying to clean up for these amount of years to come back to this, it would behoove them to make a stand and to make it quickly so that they can get on to the business of the NBA.
Outstanding. All right, Leo, we're going to give you the final word on the Black Acres segment. What are your final thoughts for today?
Well, I agree with Jima, at least in this regard. You can believe that there are some morality clauses in every professional athlete's contract, which says, in effect, that if you engage in certain behavior that damages the brand of the league, you can be expelled. You can lose your position. And I'm sure the same applies to owners, that if they violate certain morality clauses, they can lose their position as well. I just think that we should not let this moment pass, and that this particular individual should be held accountable for his words and his conduct. And as always, I'd like to thank you. You are a great supporter of Black Acre. You are my brother, and I appreciate everything you do.
Well, it's always my pleasure, man. You are awesome, and I really appreciate that. All right, so we're coming into the last segment of the show, and I want to give our co-host, Jima, an opportunity to give her final thoughts, because I know she's on the road coming back to from her awesome book signing. So, Jima, final thoughts for today.
Just that we do need to be aware of everything that's happening. We cannot allow ourselves to place our heads in the sand and not pay attention to what's happening around us. It may not affect you today, but tomorrow or the next day it very well may. So we have to just be aware and know that things that are being done on some strategic level by some will eventually trickle down and have an impact on you personally. So we just need to stay aware and stay involved. I'm a big proponent of voting and what it means. So if you have any local elections coming up, I know here in our area we do have some school board elections coming up and some city council elections coming up. Those things are important. The presidential elections are important, but it's your state governments that are making the decisions that are having a direct impact on your day-to-day lives. And so you need to know who's running for governor and what their beliefs are, what their plans are about education, about the criminal justice system, about voting. You know, where do they stand on women's health and women's rights, and where do they stand on the Affordable Care Act? Did your governor refuse to participate in the Medicaid expansion? And if so, do you know someone personally who has been affected? And I can say that I do. I know someone personally that had Governor Perry in the state of Texas accepted the Medicaid expansion. This person and her family would have insurance right now. But because he didn't, she doesn't. And so that's a problem, you know. So I'm pushing to get, we know Governor Perry is not running again, so whoever's trying to be the Republican of this state, trying to get them, we don't need that because we need the money. We have over 400-some-odd thousand people in the state of Texas uninsured. Texas has the largest uninsured population, and we sit and not doing anything about it. So I want people to get out and get informed and participate in the process. As it relates to my book, Reflections, What I Know to Be True, it was a great book signing this weekend. I attended a conference, Women Breaking the Chains of Bondage. And I can say that there were some chains that were broken, some women that were healed, there were some women that were set free. And then most of all, we were restored, we were renewed, and we were rejuvenated. And so for that, I'm truly excited about. I will be posting some things on my Facebook page later on today once I get back in town. And I will also be posting when my next book signing is. I have one coming up here locally. I'll be putting that out as well. And please continue to visit our website at TaylorMade101.com/reflections to place your order for the book. The order goes through PayPal, so you everything is secure in that area. So please feel free and go out and look at the page and check us out and place an order. I would be forever indebted and grateful to you for that. So once again, Mr. Cook, it was an awesome show. And to Mr. Leo, thanks again for allowing us to share a little bit about what it is that you do. So those are my final thoughts.
All right, that's our show for today. I would like to give a special thanks to my co-host, Jima Hill Cook. You can follow her on Twitter. And that's at Ask Jima. That's AskJema. Now, you're listening to Current Events with Patrick Cook. I'm your host, Patrick Cook, coming to you live from Dallas, Texas, as I do every Sunday at 4 p.m. Central Time, 5 o'clock Eastern. We are the number one resource for small business and nonprofits. Now, don't forget to visit my blog, and that's at TaylorMadeTalkRadio.blogspot.com. That's TaylorMade TalkRadio.blogspot.com. And you can also go out there and get Jima's book, and that's at TaylorMade101.com/reflections. Until next time, remember, it is written, my people or destroyed for the lack of knowledge. So stay engaged, stay informed, and stay plugged in to current events with Patrick Cook.